Welcome to Take on the Lake. I've got a story for you.
All right. Hey, welcome to Take on the Lake. This is Nathan Bechtold with Lake Expo, and I've got State Rep Jeff Vernetti here with District 123. I know. I was 99% sure about that, but then they change them like every 6 months, it feels
like.
Yeah,
good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Of course.
And we wanted to talk about a few things. This is getting towards the tail end of your first session.
That's right. 6 weeks left.
Yep. And it sounds like it's been, especially as kind of a freshman rep, a pretty good session for you in terms of stuff you wanted to get done.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to have you on and talk about some things that have happened, even as we're recording this over the past week or so, a couple of really positive progress for some of your bills. So,
So
give us, maybe just for a sec, give us a quick background on like when you came into the house this year, what your expectations were or some things that were priorities for you and kind of what it was like getting your feet under you, like when you jump into being a state rep.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily about how many bills you pass. It really is totally about, you know, what you can do for your district and how you can add some contributions here and there. But freshman year in particular, and for those that don't know, you can serve up to 8 years. So it's just like high school. They call you freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. Nevertheless, so when you come into a body that's got 163 members, you've got countless bureaucrats and departments, it's just a huge learning curve. So my expectations were to go in and just try to do whatever I could to get to know the process. I really spent a couple of months really from the primary up to when I got sworn in to go up there as much as possible, meet as many of the key staff people and really try to get to know it because it's just like anything, like sales or really anything, it's a lot like high school. It's a relationship business. So no, I've had some, knock on wood, some good success. I mean, it's got to pass the Senate, but a lot of freshmen haven't been able to get a ton through. And I've had three pieces of legislation that so far have passed the House. One happened a few weeks ago. I'm involved with Sherry Gallick's, Representative Gallick's bill about rolling back Proposition A, in particular, the paid time leave, which is going to drastically affect businesses across the state. I was one of the people alongside her that fought that fight. It passed the House. It's going to be heard in the Senate in the next week to 10 days. And I expect it to be very contentious, as you'd imagine. Oh, it's not popular with Senate or House Democrats, especially those that did pass Prop A, St. Louis and Kansas City in particular, and Columbia, but a huge percentage of the state did not. 87 of the 114 counties voted it down, ours included. So that one, but this week was really good. Involved with two pieces that passed the House. One unanimously was the Osage Beach Airport, which would basically allow the state to transfer the Lisi Fine Airport to the city. They'll still have to make those negotiations. And again, I get asked a lot, you know, what's the city going to do? That's not what this is about. This isn't about I'm involved in the plans. For all I know, the city won't expand that airport for a long time.
This was just like the state had to allow DNR to transfer the land. To solidify the agreement that DNR had kind of struck with Osage Beach. Because the agreement, my understanding is Osage Beach had said, hey, we'll run like sewer infrastructure and some stuff out there and kind of connect you to our city sewer infrastructure. And DNR really wanted that.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of part, and I think it's like a $0.
It's a zero fiscal note. Now, but I'm not, that's up to the city.
Right.
If they don't want to technically transfer it and take it over or purchase it for years, that's up to them. This piece of legislation just gives them the right. And, you know, the alderman, the mayor, Cole Bradbury to make those negotiations with DNR. I'm happy to be a part of them, but at this point I'm not. That's really a city matter. And I could see long-term if they expand and if there's ever going to be a commercial airport at the lake, it's that airport.
No doubt.
And could there be long-term a private municipal partnership? Could they involve the county and other municipalities? Oh, I think so. But that's, again, that's up to local government. So yeah, I get the question from those, well, why are you going to raise our taxes? That has nothing to do with it. That I'm not involved with the plan of how they'll expand the airport, but I was integral in the part of allowing them to do so. I think it's critical for our growth to someday have a regional airport. When someday, Nathan, I don't know.
Totally agree.
Yeah, to be determined. And then the third one was, one of my big initiatives coming in was to really help seniors. I really see, we have a huge second home population. That's no big secret, but there are so many seniors that want to move to the Lake of the Ozarks region full time. And Missouri is not great to seniors, especially with the way they tax their pensions. Now, a couple of years ago, Missouri passed legislation to get rid of tax on some of their public pensions. Like, you know, so if you were a teacher or if you got some sort of state public pension, now those aren't taxed. But there's 17 states that completely don't tax seniors' private pensions, you know, their IRAs and those contributions. And ironically, it's the states that a lot of seniors move to. Tennessee and Arkansas and, you know, those that border us. Iowa passed it 2 years ago, and they're having great success with it. So I want a full repeal of it. This basically doubles the limits of what they're able to tax. It passed with only one no vote, so it was, you know, a very bipartisan thing. It has a Senate companion, so again, both those things have to move on the Senate side. I'm working with Senator Bernsketter on the airport bill, and they have a land conveyance bill as well, so I'm working with that senator on that. So I feel both of those are going to get some movement. I can't tell you really what'll happen with Prop A and minimum wage and paid time leave. My feelings are well established. The hate mail and emails I get from out of district people is verifiable.
Yeah, fine.
So that one I don't know, but yeah, no, I'm excited that I've been able to get some movement. And then I'm on budget as well. And this week the House passed our budget. It's now sent to the Senate. They'll have a few weeks to work on it. It has to be done by May 9th, but we recommended $4 billion of cuts compared to what the governor recommended. So I'm really proud that we, you know, we funded education to high limits. We raised infrastructure. You know, there's a number of things that we did do to address the needs of the state. At the same time, we cut a lot of weight. I mean, $4 billion with a B of just bogus programs and complete waste. And I'd like it to be more. We'll see what the Senate does to it. So right now, though, the House left it with $4 billion out the door, and it was hundreds of hours of work. That was a great experience to be involved in that, and I'll again do it again next year. But it was quite a lot of work.
So a little like a state level DOGE situation going
exactly.
on.
Exactly, and both the House and the Senate have our own version of DOGE. They're looking through doing that as well. But the Budget Committee can really do that because for those that don't know, every single state department presents us their budget. It has the governor's recommendations to those line items. And I will say, you know, since this is on it's a stack over our heads of budget books that we go through. And it's, you know, some nights we're there till 1 a.m.
How do you decide, like, what kind of input are you getting in terms of deciding, okay, well, yeah, they can have that money for that, but not that money for that. How do you even start?
Yeah, it's tough. And I'm it's drinking from the fire hose. I'm not an expert in it. You really listen to the department heads and what they're fighting for. You listen to, especially on things like social services or, again, back to infrastructure, you really, you know, we had testimony, just like any other regular bill. People would, you know, a city administrator or a mayor would come in and fight for that project or another. Especially in the social services, it's tough because your heartstrings are pulled. We want to help the needy across the state. There's only so much you can do, and there's only so much the taxpayers should do.
Well, and so there's a real balance. Some things done with good intentions actually cause terrible outcomes.
100%.
Right? That too.
Yeah,
so,
and
it's philosophical. It's not just heartstrings. Right?
Yeah,
I know that's what you're wrestling with.
You got to take your human being hat off and say, but this is taxpayer dollars.
We
can't pay for that. So that was the struggle of it. And then I don't want to sit here and be a shill for the government because, again, I came in new to this. There are some departments, though, that are humming. They are run well. They're efficient. They're fiscally conservative.
Name a couple.
You know, I really, really thought that DNR has made a complete shift because they were not known to be very good. Mm-hmm. But new director, they're making the right strides. I really think that Department of Economic Development is on the, and that's where tourism is underneath. They're doing some things, but then there are some programs, transportation and MoDOT. Really has some issues, but DESE is the worst, you know, and I think that's widely known. It's bloated. It's way overfunded. Now that President Trump is doing what he's doing with the Department of Education. It's going to be a massive trickle down to what each state does. You know, DESE in Missouri, again, not something that I was involved with, but a couple of sessions ago, they took over daycare operations. And so a lot of people don't know, but kids in daycare, just like our public schools, can be on assisted lunch and different assistance levels. You know, they're months behind paying these daycares just because they can't get the computer program right. It completely bungled. But more than anything, operationally, what I think is frustrating is, so basically, it's not like you budget this business or I budget Vernetti's Italian Grocer or anything like that. State budgeting is far more complex and far more different, but we, the legislature, appropriates a level of spending. So let's say we give your department $1 million for that line item. Then it's your job as a department to spend up to or less than that. And what you see a lot of these departments doing, Nathan, is it's fascinating, mind-blowing, and like, what are we doing here all at the same time? That they fight for an appropriation amount that they might not spend anywhere close to for the last 3 or 4 years. And then they present that once again, just to have the right to do it. And so this, we call it lapse. So, you know, you might have $1 million line item and they'll spend 600 one year and 550 the next and 750 the next. Well, it's lapse in a couple hundred thousand. Right. Let's cut it. Let's cut it down. And they fight it. So the good departments
have the ability to spend it just in case they want to have to spend
it. So like last year we had a $53 billion budget, but Missouri only spent, I say only spent around $41 billion. So, but the budget's 53. So what we're trying to do, and especially Republicans, we're trying to get, again, we cut $4 billion. A lot of that was lapse. And there's some of it's program related, but it is so complex. It is so twisted. And obviously the ones that get the most conversation, education is usually one of them.
Yeah.
It's the one that has the most pulling on it. It's big business to some reps and senators. And again, folks like us in rural Missouri think far differently about it than, say, a representative from one of the big cities. So we will see what the Senate does to it, but I'm very proud that we cut $4 billion. And we're going to continue to cut. I mean,
good.
Federal dollars are going down. All the COVID money is long gone. And Missouri, again, in some departments, spent that money properly and used it on short-term programs and didn't count on it. Others, they put it in there like it's going to be renewable, and it's not. So we're fighting to get rid of it.
Interesting.
And I will say too, I'll come back in a few weeks. I've got a few things that will help and affect our local market that I fought to get into the budget. I'm excited to tell everybody about it, but I'm going to wait and see if the Senate cuts it before I get everybody all excited. But I've got something that will help not only our local legal system, but I fought to get some ODOT funding in there for some things that we really need in our district and in Camden County in particular. So I look forward to fighting for that on the Senate side, but I got to get it through there.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's dive in just a couple of those things that you got that you touched on there, the different bills that are at least have cleared the House really well, but the airport one. So I know you worked with, presumably with like Cole and the city some on and talking through that. And you and I both kind of have this dream to get our pilot's license someday.
Absolutely.
Right? So that's just kind of a passion for both of us as well.
Absolutely love to. And now that I'm not, you know, working weekends and stuff after session, I'm going to try to get back into it. I'd love to do it. But, you know, that airport, they have a waiting list for people that want to have private planes.
Like even if we got our license and got a plane, you can't get a hangar there anyways.
Can't get a hangar in town anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah. None of them.
And so it's wild.
There's a huge demand for those airports. Not even, again, the question that I see a lot when we'll do a story about this is, the big question is, all right, are we going to have commercial air service here? And I mean, the short answer is no, not right now.
Yeah,
like
obviously
there's no plans for, I know of, for that. But that's actually not the most important question right now, because there's a massive demand for just private pilots and then like for business, corporate travel and stuff like that, people 100%. Coming in and out. So,
well, it's the longest runway, so it could support larger size corporate jets, which would be huge. But talking to the city, and they would have the numbers way more than I. And I really, as you know, a citizen, didn't understand as much about, you know, Osage Beach has been running that airport for 25 plus years. They already have 9 employees. Their budget's over $2 million, but they're pulling in over $5 million in revenue. It's a money maker for the city. But they are, because they don't own it, they lease it, they can't put in rightfully so. You don't want to build extra hangars on something you don't own.
That's not wise.
Yeah. I mean, that's not fiscal. Now, will they? Maybe that's the next step. Again, that's an alderman, mayor, Cole Bradbury question. I'm supportive of whatever they want to do to grow that. But I've been told they have a waiting list that would take years to get to just regular citizens of the lake and people that have second homes that want to park their plane there. And they can't build the hangars for them. It's a waiting list. And we're seeing, you know, Camdenton's building, they have invested in that. Camdenton's smaller, much smaller airport, but they've added eight or 10 hangars, whatever
it is. Yeah,
they've
added some, like, I think they got some jet or like some larger hangars and stuff. So, I mean,
yeah.
And that's the thing. And that's the thing that I really, that's why I like this issue. I like covering this at Lake Expo is because it's a core infrastructure issue. And while it doesn't immediately mean commercial air service to the lake, it does mean pilots, private pilots who have planes. And that's a layer of folks that are already interested in the lake and want to be here, or are here and want to be here more, or whatever, that creates some infrastructure for them. It's important. Again, it's the same kind of thing as when people maybe complain about like giant yachts on the ocean. They go, well, how is that? It's like, dude, you're not in the giant yacht market, but that affects the economy, especially, again, you can kind of then scale it down to the lake when it comes to airports. It really affects the lake's economy in a big way, and having that infrastructure is going to be huge. So I'm glad you were able to get that, because this is the second year, I think, because last year was the first year it was filed, and it just nothing happened.
Former reps have tried, and they've never built the relationships to get something through. Again, this is a local issue, so as you look at this politically, other representatives, I mean, it passed unanimously, so they will support it. But this is a local issue, so it's not moving the needle as far as getting attention. At this time of the session, it takes a lot to get a local issue discussed, because right now we're focusing on these bigger statewide things.
Right,
so I certainly had to work relationships to crowbar this in early and have the floor leader and the speaker give me 15 minutes to present this. And as you saw, there was no negative feedback. It passed unanimously through all the committees. When you can get a bill that has zero negative impact, and also nobody from the Democrat side saying, well, what are you doing? It's usually a slam dunk. But unfortunately, they were never able to do this in past years. And this gives it a chance. It's no guarantee, but it's never passed the House this quickly. So I'm excited about it.
Well, congrats on that.
Yeah,
thank you. That's good for the lake. I'm glad that you were able to push that through. And then the pension one, I mean, that one's a little bit in the weeds, too, in terms of, like, I saw the breakdown on, well, you know, how much, you know, from this amount to this amount and all that. But the big picture of it is that before, you were saying government pensions weren't being taxed, right, in Missouri?
Yeah, they were 3 years ago, but then that finally, this gets private pensions in
private
line
pensions.
Now with public.
Yeah, so like if you have a pension retirement plan from a private company you worked for, your tax situation just got a lot better.
100%.
And that's great.
And that just, it makes Missouri a more appealing, you know, people are like, why are you focusing on that? Well, one, I think we got to get back to the people that put hard work in before us. But two, seniors have expendable income. You know, if you're taxed less, you have more in your pocket. You have more ability to get a second home, spend more on the boat, spend more at the restaurants. This just trickles down to our community, but throughout Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. And again, it's kind of in the weeds, but when it affects you, then you feel it.
Exactly. And I had a lot of constituents and, you know, again, I'm proud Rotarian. I, you know, many retirees and that, and told me about how important this would be. So it was one of the centerpieces of it. I mean, I really ran on a couple of different issues, and that's why, again, in the budget, I'm fighting for infrastructure stuff, local issues, I'm fighting for that. And again, I have a couple other things in the pipeline, you know, Officer Carson renaming or memorializing the Grand Glaze Bridge in her honor. I'm supposed to present that, if not next week, but the week after. Those are much easier to get done because I'm one of, there's probably 40 memorializing names and different things throughout the state, you know, former veterans, historic figures, things of that nature. They bundle those together in one omnibus, you know, memorializing bill. So I should be presenting that, and then people will amend onto mine. So
nice.
Yeah. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. So we'll get that done as well.
Nice. And then maybe just a couple more minutes, the Prop A deal. So you filed a bill that would have really dialed back the minimum wage increase was what it was aiming at. And I kept up with that for a minute, but I actually kind of, and because there were a lot of different ones, different reps were filing different things. There was a lot of interest on some level or completely rolling back Prop A. I mean, I've written about this at Lake Expo. I think forcibly requiring an employer to pay somebody something is evil and violent, because I think that an employer should be able to strike a voluntary agreement with an employee. And if the employee doesn't like it, they can go to somebody else. And it requires employers to be competitive. So minimum wage, the whole thing is, it's terrible, honestly. Yeah. So that's my very mild opinion about it.
You and I have discussed this and agreed, and you were one of the many constituents that reached out to me with good ideas to help fight it. They combined a couple of our ideas. I wanted to push back on minimum wage more. The bill that got to the floor, you have to make some concessions and allowed for to stay at $15 an hour. The thing, again, I've paid hundreds of employees, hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years. I want people to make as much as possible.
Yeah,
I just think the market should set wages.
Yes.
That's it. Now, if you have a business that you can't pay people minimum wage because you couldn't find any employees, then that's great. That means people are making more than that. However, there are areas like the lake that you have and can have a lot of minimum wage employees. And when minimum wage in the last 10 years, I did a ton of research on this before I presented it. Last 10 years, minimum wage, when it moves to $15 an hour next year, minimum wage will go up 81% the last decade. Cost of living increase the last decade is 30%. Those two things need to line up. Mm-hmm. I'm fine if wages go up as cost of living goes up gradually, not 80% in 10 years. No state around us has anything close to what we have except for Illinois, and that's a Democrat-backed woke state. And so I just think it's a shame, but they focus the legislation much more on the complete repeal of paid time leave, which I think will be disastrous for Missouri. Not just in this area, but elsewhere.
The requirement.
Of it, the implementation of it. There are so many different industries, restaurants, barge workers, industries that, what if you were an employee that your business was in Missouri, but you had a 3 or 4 state region? Like, let's say you lived in Kansas City and you had Kansas and Iowa as part of your territory. Well, what happens when you're over there for part of your time? Does that not count? Like, it was so poorly written, and it's so many gray areas. And also, businesses don't have this ability to implement it mid-year, too. It goes into effect in May. How on earth are we, as small business owners, going to be able to just snap our fingers and calculate after 5 months, and then you have disputes? And then you have employees. I have employees. Mm-hmm. Right now, if an employee calls in sick, when this goes into effect, you can't ask for a doctor's note. To just prove the sick time. Mm-hmm. That's illegal. They can sue you. To ask for a doctor's note, that just seems completely wrong. So we're waiting for the Supreme Court to rule. I'm not holding my breath for that. And hopefully our legislation will shut this down and slow it down.
You don't think the Supreme Court is going to overturn the passage of Prop 8?
Yeah. I mean, again, the Restaurant Association, the Missouri Chamber, they've all filed suit, and it's sitting in the Supreme Court as we speak. We're hoping that they stop it. But again, in all the other than the people that reach out to me, that, you know, I've gotten death threats and other things, but most of them are from our area. But this whole will of the people thing, and I'm a voter too. I understand the will of the people. I get it. I support it. However, the will of the people isn't doing my budgeting, didn't do my business plan, isn't a co-signer on my loan, nor are they on yours or Baxter's or any other restaurant or business or thing we could name. And I just think it's terrible government overreach and oversight.
Absolutely.
I will fight it. Again, I don't care if people in St. Louis, Kansas City hate me and I never get another elected office outside of the one I've got. So be it. I'm going to help lead this fight because it's terrible to business. It's going to have unbelievable ramification in the state. So again, hopefully we'll get something done.
Yeah, I think you see especially the areas where it did extremely well, but even generally, it's easy for people to kind of thoughtlessly, I think, vote for something like that.
Well,
I'm not calling everybody stupid that voted for it, but I'm saying it's easy for people to vote for it because, like, oh yeah, pay people more. Yes, businesses.
I agree.
Those guys are holding it back anyways. They're making piles of money. They need to pay their
people. When it's written that way, I totally agree with you.
That's how people jump on it. It's like, because it's kind of this like, oh yeah, people ought to make more money. And again, everybody would agree. I would love for everybody to make more money. That would be wonderful.
I totally agree.
But like, just to mandate it out of thin air. You know, one of my favorite arguments for that I ever heard was like, listen, Why don't we just mandate the minimum wage to be $100 an hour then?
Yeah.
If it, I mean, it would be so great, right? And then people will be like, well, I know.
I had some people on the floor say, let's just mandate prices now. Let's mandate. Right. You know, where does it stop?
Right. Exactly.
But again, if we're going to compromise on something.
A wage is the price, right? A wage is the price of labor. Yeah. Like, you are mandating a price.
It's going to create an artificial inflation. All that's going to happen is one of three things. A business is going to add that cost to their prices. Prices go up. They're going to close. That's worst case. They're just going to say, forget it. Yeah. I'm out. Or what they're going to do, which I think most will do, is they're going to do more work with less people.
Right.
Instead of doing it with 10, they're going to do it with 7. It's really, it's going to be bad. But if we have to concede on, there's really two parts of Prop A, minimum wage increase and the paid time leave. If you want me to pick one, I'll budget an extra year. Let's go to $15 and let's take out the paid time leave.
Right.
If I have to. Now, again, I'm for a full repeal. I don't think a full repeal will happen, but the governor is supportive of action. The House definitely was, because we passed ours. We'll see what the Senate does.
Yeah. Okay. So right now, what the Senate's going to be considering is the repealing
our
of the
bill.
Paid
time
it's leave
a complete
piece.
Repeal, complete repeal of paid time leave, and conceding on the minimum wage, allowing that to stay. So but they can change. I mean, that's the upper chamber. They can change it. They can amend it. We'll see what direction. See,
is there anything else that we should be, maybe at the lake, be watching? I know you kind of teased some stuff. Maybe we can come back to those at another time. Is there anything else we should be kind of watching that's going through that, you know, could either be contentious or like really critical for just maybe even Missourians?
Yeah, those are
about
the big things. I think really the last 6 weeks, pay attention to the budget, what happens over there. But I really think on a social issue, the next big thing that we'll be taking up next week, and again, we'll go through probably lots of changes, but There will be fighting Amendment 3 and the abortion issue. I'm still waiting for, it's gone through multiple different phases. I think that, you know, what we want to get out of it is to send it back to the ballot in 26 to, again, get rid of abortion in Missouri. I think, though, that there's been some compromises made to maybe allow for rape and incest and some things that people thought were just too extreme. I'm not here to necessarily judge one way or another. Certainly, though, Amendment 3 was the worst thing ever voted on in Missouri history. So whatever we can do to claw some of that back, we've done little, we've chipped away at the edges on a couple of things, but that's really the next big thing to pay attention to when we get 6 weeks to do it.
We'll watch that.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me, man.
Of course,
I appreciate
anytime.
It.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Yep. Keep up the good work.
You too.
Press on.
Thank you.